As always, it's so good to be with you. How we doing, church? There's been so much happening lately, hasn't there, here at St. Albert, and all the Easter and all the new changes in leadership and stuff that's coming up. So I haven't had a chance to ask you, how's your garden doing? You know, let's talk about some of those kind. Mine's doing great. It's going every which way. So there's nothing like it. I hope that I'll have some butterflies this year that will come and feast on the nectar. Always enjoy that time. Well, it's interesting. As my days with you draw to a close, I find myself being more sentimental about you, sort of reflecting upon you and my experiences and my time here, and what I want to share with you. What do I want to say to you in these remaining days that to me seem to be the most important things in life? I learned this lesson through Paul, the scriptures, and Moses. You know, Paul was, we have his illustration. He was getting ready to, he was in Rome about to die a martyr's death. So what does he do? He writes Timothy a letter and tells him all the things he needs to remember when he's gone. And we see Moses also. You know, Moses brought the people to the land, the border of the promised land, and God told Moses he wasn't going in. Joshua would lead him in. And so Moses speaks to them about things that are most important. This one's important. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. It's interesting. Some of you, and I see some of you, if you go to confession with me, oftentimes you'll hear me say, and your penance is, read the 23rd Psalm and reflect upon it. Why do I do that so much? Some of them chuckle sometimes when I say it because, well, I've heard it. Is there any other scripture in the Bible? Yeah, there is, but this one's very special when I think about reconciliation. Why is that? Because the Good Shepherd understands me. He doesn't give up on me when I stray away, and he continues to keep me in his flock under his watchful care. That's why I do it. I love the shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Did you know that? Sheep are what's called domesticated animals. Now, probably the one we're the most familiar with is a cow. Could you imagine a cow making it on its own out in the wild? Well, no, it couldn't. It's a domesticated. It depends upon us for everything, doesn't it? Sheep are the same way. Have to have a shepherd. Got to have a shepherd. And we have to follow that shepherd. That's where we get in trouble. We want to be the shepherd. We want to follow our own way. That's when we get in trouble, isn't it? No, we follow. I'm a follower. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's who I am. He's my shepherd. He's my leader. He's my guide. And, you know, that's really important as you think about that dependence upon the shepherd. Who's your shepherd? Is it God? Is it money? Is it politicians? Is it economists? Who's your shepherd? You know, who we follow is where our heart is, isn't it? Didn't Jesus say, oh yeah, he did say that, didn't he? Our shepherd. And we can follow some pretty shady characters. I call it like Jesus said, hired hands. What does a hired hand do when things get tough? They hightail it out of there, don't they? It's not their property. I'm not going to do anything to endanger myself. I'm not the owner. They're just paying me by the hour to do this. See? And that's some of the problems and challenges we get. Sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd. Do you know that? Do you know that if a shepherd walks off the side of a cliff, the sheep will follow him? Would you do that? That's how connected they are to the shepherd. That's why we need a shepherd, because we're like sheep. Oh, we don't like to think that. we're independent, and, you know, we're all that. No, somebody put it really aptly last night. I thought it was beautiful. She said, you know, when I try to be shepherd of my life, things get all mixed up. You ever do that? I'm going to take charge. I'm going to take charge of my life. And then things get mixed up. They get messed up. And then she said, you know what I do? As I go back to the good shepherd. I say, Lord, I can't handle this. You got to do it. I can put my trust in you. Because every other shepherd, see, the thing is that shepherds will fail you if you pick a false shepherd. They're going to fail you. They're going to mix you up. They're going to cause confusion. But with the good shepherd, there's trust. There's confidence. And that's the beautiful, beautiful thing, isn't it? Trust in the good shepherd. There's confidence in the good shepherd. We're so fortunate on this Good Shepherd Sunday to have one of the greatest passages out of the scripture about sheep and shepherd and God and you has to do with the 23rd Psalm. Now, I know this isn't reconciliation, so I won't make it your penance to read it today. But I want us to reflect upon it because I think it's really important. Who better to write about sheep and shepherd relationship than David? David was a shepherd boy, wasn't he? And that's where we pick him up in the story in the Bible, tending the sheep, wasn't he? But then he talks about sheep and shepherding prolifically in his experiences and particularly in the Psalms. He learns so much about God through the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. I want to share some of those points with you because I think they're very important. And they're just as valuable today as they were 2,000 years ago as well. And I think as you look at this, what you do is you'll find great strength in the good shepherd. The good shepherd. See, that's what we need today. The Lord is my shepherd. Boy, right off the bat. Now, I've already asked you once, but I want to ask you again, because you have to ask so many times before it sticks in. Who is your shepherd? You know, is it the Lord? Who's number one in your heart? Who takes first place in your life? I guess that's the way to put it. Is it money? Economists? Politicians? You know, I was thinking about it the other day, since we've been throwing God out of our lives here in our culture in America, who do we come to depend upon? Who's the next one? Politicians, government, they're going to take care of us, aren't they? Don't work. Doesn't matter which party, which affiliation. You can look at that today. It's smeared all over everything. It doesn't work. Those things will disappoint you. And you've seen that too. Oh, but they don't disappoint. They'll tell me this. Why is our world in such a state of high anxiety? Well, it's because we got the wrong shepherd. We're afraid of the economy. We're afraid of Iran. Afraid of nuclear missiles. We're afraid of war, conflict, all these kinds of things. There's only one shepherd. And David, he chose the right one. The Lord is my shepherd. He takes first place. He leads and guides me, he says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You ever thought about that? I think that's powerful. This is reality. Now, we can become so hardened by the world that we don't believe this. Particularly living in a materialistic society where it's all about me. It's all about what I want. But do you know what? I believe this with all my heart. If God is your shepherd, you don't care about anything else. Can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. I have no other wants. Do you think David meant that? Oh, absolutely meant it. I have no other wants. You know, things I want. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. You know? I see, or, you know, I need this. I need that. I think about that. I see so many people today caught up in jealousy. I want a bigger house like that. I want a better vacation. I want a higher paying job. You know? That sense of jealousy. That's our shepherd. Shepherd says, with me, you have nothing to want. I have everything. I am everything to you. That's powerful. You want to be free of anxiety? The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I want. Because he provides for my every need, doesn't he? He leads me to still water. I love that image because I grew up in the mountains. Still waters, not muddy water, not river water that's flowing and raging. No, you walk up to it, it's quiet, it's clear, it's pure, it's crystal. He leads me to that kind of water. I think about growing up as a kid. I mean, they literally, I don't know how they, it's called a, you know, it's a certain kind of artesian well, but they literally put a pipe in the mountain. You can go to that pipe, and you can drink some of the best spring water in the world. It just comes out of that pipe. Now, most people wouldn't do that today. But I'm still around, so I guess it didn't kill me too bad. I'd go up there, you know, after riding my bicycle or playing football with the guys, you know. And I got to have some of that good water. Oh, it's cold, it's clear, refreshing. That's the way God is. He leads us to abundance, doesn't he? Green grass, verdant fields. I like how one of the translation puts it. It means it's just full of grass. Now, I don't eat grass. Anybody here eat grass? I don't eat grass. But I guess if I was a sheep, I'd be really drooling about that, you know. Reminds me of my dog, Toby. He loves to eat. You know, when I put food in his bowl, you know what he starts to do? Drool. Ah, he wants it. Now, I wouldn't care to eat that stuff, but he would. Oh, he starts drooling. Every day, every time I put food in his bowl, he starts drooling. That's how bad he wants it. And that's what the Lord does, see? He leads me to the source of everything that's good. Who is the absolute source of good? Who trumps every good in this world? Well, it's God. God himself. He is absolute. He is the source of all good. And he's leading me to that. I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey to God. The journey to grow in him. To understand him, to love him, and to desire nothing else in this world but him. You know? And he says, when I find this, I'm refreshed. I'm inspired. You ever seen an overflowing cup? My cup runneth over. You can't contain it. You know, there's so much joy in God, you can't contain all the joy in God. It just flows over. It's that abundant. That's the absolute goodness of God. What's he saying? I'm filled with joy. My relationship to the shepherd fills me with joy. He says, even when I walk in the toughest of situations, like here he says, the valley of the shadow of death. There's all kinds of death out there today. Physical death's not the only one, is it? All kinds of things. What does he say? I will not fear. Well, if you look at our society today, you look at all the fear and the angst, you realize we ain't trusting the right person. Our faith is not in the good shepherd. David says when you trust him, you won't fear. You're not afraid. What did Jesus say? What can man do to me? He can do nothing to me, Jesus said. How's that for confidence? A fear-free world, to walk without fear in a world that's full of fear. It's because my shepherd's not in mere mortals or circumstance. My shepherd is God. God never fails. I don't know of one time in my entire life where God has failed me. The other things I put my trust in, the other shepherds I pick, they fail me. They fail me badly. Have you had that experience? I have. I won't fear. See, my shepherd's watching over me, regardless of what I may come up against. What do you feel with if you're not filled with fear? Peace. Isn't that what we're all looking for today? Do you see? God is the source of everything. Filled with peace. I'm not going to be afraid. My cup unfolds. He leads me. He guides me through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to watch over me and protect me. And what will follow me all the days of my life? What does he say? Well, it's what you want. Well, if it's what you want, why in the world aren't you looking that way? What is it? Surely goodness and mercy. That's what we all want in life. Do you see how fundamental it is that Jesus is your good shepherd? Do you see that? Do you see the connection with life, with meaning, with purpose, happiness, absence of fear when Jesus is your shepherd? And do you see all the other angst and the fear and stuff when you make other things, particularly yourself, the shepherd of your life? David had learned the most important lesson of all. See, the Lord was his shepherd. And what does he say? So in conclusion, he says this: as long as I live, as long as I live, I will stay in the flock. And he did. As long as I live, I will stay near to the shepherd, and I will follow him because he loves me with an everlasting love. God bless all of you. Now let us stand as we profess our wonderful